Have you ever met a girl that you tried to date, but a year to make love, she wanted you to wait? Let me tell you a story of my situation. I was talking to this girl from the U.S. nation. The way that I met her was on tour at a concert. She had long hair and a short mini skirt. I just got on stage dripping, pouring with sweat. I was walking through the crowd, and guess who I met? I whispered in her ear, come to the picture booth so I can ask you some questions to see if you're 100 proof. I asked her her name, she said blah, blah, blah. She had 9-10 pants and a very big bra. I took a couple of flicks and she was enthused. I said, how do you like the show? She said I was very amused. I started throwing bits, she started throwing back mid-range. But when I sprung the question, she acted kind of strange. Then when I asked, do you have a man? She tried to pretend. She said, no, I don't. I only have a friend. Come on. I'm not even going for it. It's what I'm going to say.
You got what I need. But you say he just a friend. And you say he just a friend.
Oh, I'm Tom. That's Mike. And the third wheel on the line tonight is commentator for Dragon Gate USA, Evolve, Combat Zone Wrestling. I'm sure he will be working for that All Wheels Wrestling coming up soon, because when you think of this guy, you think of motocross, obviously. Rob Naylor's on the line.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's How's up, Rob? How you doing, man? I think it's been about like about a month and a half since we had you on the show. I think it was right around. I think it was right before Tom got married, actually. To which you responded to Tom getting married. You're getting married. So
yeah, it's a total surprise. I was just stricken with happiness for my friend, and it's been a while, but I won't quote any more Stain songs on this show. I'm sorry already, but it's been a lot of good shit happening on wrestling of late.
Exactly. So why don't we just get down and talk about it? Ring of Honor had a show on Sunday that was obviously you were there live for, and I know there's a lot of stuff you want to talk about. You know, CM Punk. You talked about the CM Punk stuff on your podcast yesterday. So I don't really want you to have, you know, reiterate kind of the stuff that you had talked about on that. Obviously, they can go and check out Goodwill Wrestling if they want to hear that. But, but just real quick, though, I guess, you know, being that we do talk about the indies and stuff like that, Sunday, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly against the Young Bucks. I have to ask you about this right away. How was it?
Oh, it was really good. It was everything you'd expect. A lot of the people there, it seemed, even though Cole and O'Reilly had that killer match in December at Final Battle, and they had that pretty okay match in March, I believe, a lot of people still weren't really hip to them. But by the end of the match, they were super behind Cole and O'Reilly. And of course, the Bravado Brothers came out in their sweater vests and shorts, and they start kicking some ass. So that was quite good. I like the match. People are going to dig it. I thought it was actually aired for free on Go Fight Live on the pre-show, but I've not heard anyone mention that, so I don't think that actually happened. But it was good. It'll be worth picking up the DVD for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Mike just dropped off the line, and I feel awkward because I've only seen like the first two matches on the show. So, So anything you want to go in depth about while Mike's trying to get back on the line? And I think he's back, Mike.
No, I'm here.
Yeah,
I'm here. Rob was just talking about the Young Bucks match.
Yeah, it was a really good match, and the Bravados were awesome. They're so over. Their characters are hilarious, and they were my favorite part of the video wire, which shouldn't even be possible given that Shamokin was on the video wire last time. So, they're awesome, man. They're on a roll, and I don't like really the fuck finish, but I'm not the booker, so whatever. I would have just done a finish. I was told they could have done a finish, and they just decided not to, which I think is preposterous, but whatever. they just decided to put the heat on the Bravados, and both guys don't have to lose, so whatever. But I liked it a lot. It was a good match.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, I just told Rob while you were off the line, I've only seen the first two matches on the show, so I figured I'd let you guys carry the majority of the Ring of Honor conversation, since I'm not that far yet into the show, though Jay Lethal's ponytail is sexy Too Cold Scorpio-like goodness. Let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basically, I did want to talk about mostly the main event, because obviously the main event was what everyone was talking about outside, you know, when the show was done. Obviously, the undercard was solid. If just, you know, it was an undercard, it wasn't anything spectacular. And I think maybe it purposely was done that way just to show off how just spectacular the main event was. And I mean, being there live, I guess, I guess I just want, you know, like the live perspective. What was it like being there? You know, the match almost went 40 minutes. Like, did the crowd seem tired at all? Like, how was everything throughout? Because, you know, it was that, you know, New York City crowd in the, you know, in the old Hammerstein Ballroom for the first time in a while. So that, you know, that was really cool. Like, I guess, like, what was it being there live for Davey versus Eddie?
Not to, you know, bat away that question, but real quick, overall perspective, showing up and being in the building before the show was just kind of cool to see, like, Rhino and Steve Corino in that building. Like, it's like, shit, you know, I'm kind of tripping out over this right now. So, like, that was kind of neat. It was one of those shows where the volume of human beings there, like, there was 2,000 plus. I mean, I don't know what they seat there, but every seat was filled, and even if there were a couple not filled, you could look on any balcony. Me and about 21 of my friends, all aka Chris Hero's Rapper's Posse, were all standing on the ground, so there was at least all of us. Every seat was filled, so, like, they did unbelievably well financially. Now, I know that place is more expensive to run, but they filled every seat, and a big applause to Ring of Honor for, you know, doing some good promotion there. It was one of those shows, like I said, the volume of human beings in the place made every match seem like it was over. Like, I don't know if it really translated to the pay-per-view broadcast, but, like, the heat for everything was at least good to great. And the matches that – the only match I thought didn't have heat, believe it or not, was the tag team match at times, because, of course, it went an hour and 28 minutes. But we'll get to that later. Yeah. There's different people thought different things about that match very clearly, but I know I have my own opinion too. But, yeah, I really liked the show, and I thought the main event – you're right, I was a little tired, but the fans were with that main event, and I think Eddie and Davey really know how to work toward the strengths of a New York City crowd. And they just pop shit off. I don't know where Davey Richards started doing all this Minoru Tanaka Fujita floating armbar shit, but I love it. And I thought it was so silky smooth. And I went into that show thinking, man, they better not put the belt on Davey. And by the end of it, when they put the belt on Davey, I didn't even care. I was like, wow, you know what? Fuck it. That was a memorable match. Davey won, and we got, like, a fun surprise title win 2 months ago. So, like, I have no problem with it.
Exactly. So. Because there was originally, if you remember, Death Before Dishonor, when Tyler Black beat Davey, and maybe some people were questioning there if Davey should beat Tyler Black, you know, right then and there. But he waited. So I guess, you know, this was kind of like the big Davey Richards title win. And I believe if you go and look in Gabe Sapolsky's Book of Secrets, I think Davey Richards wasn't he supposed to, like, win, like, end up winning the ROH title back when he had the book, you know, a couple of years ago?
That's a great book. I don't know. I have no idea. I might have watched the Book of Secrets. He probably sent me the Book of Secrets before he even filmed it. But, like, yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember any of that anymore. But, like,
yeah,
I
me
do
neither.
Know
it's,
that.
It's well.
Yeah, I do know that he was a fan of Davies at least once upon a time. But I don't know exactly how that was going to happen. But I'm happy for Davey. I thought Eddie Edwards looked good in defeat, and obviously, as we said earlier, a rematch can be easily built to now, and I think that the winner will be up in the air to see, you know, who could win that match. And, like, I'm really happy. Their TV match that they had on HDNet, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great. I thought this was a great match. Anyone that gives it, you know, 4+ stars, I could totally agree with them. So.
Exactly.
And, like, Kevin Steen's angle, to get into that real quick.
Yeah, let's get into
that.
Favorite
things, that was one of my favorite things on the show. I've heard conflicting reports that he might be gone for a while. I don't know what the hell is going to go on with that thing. But, like, they clearly wrote him out. I don't know what the deal is. But Kevin Steen's angle was hot. Like, I don't know when the hell he'll be back. But I'll tell you what, that place was fire for Kevin Steen.
Yeah, it was
so awesome. And when he ripped his shirt off, I thought it was a Dragon Gate shirt. I lost my fucking mind.
Yeah, I'm, you know, like, yeah. I thought so too.
Like, and on Twitter immediately, everyone's like, what the fuck was his shirt? I think it's just a Kill Steen Kill shirt, which is smart marketing on his part in his for however this is going to go. You know, as an outsider, he could get some merch and, you know, make some money that way. But, like, I don't know how it's going to work out. But, like, Kevin Steen was by far the highlight of the show, possibly the most over guy on the entire show. So, you know, that's the whole anti-hero thing is hot this week, I guess. But he was unbelievably awesome in his role. And he dropped Carino on his fucking head. and it was beautiful. And yeah, Kevin Steen's like among my top 10 wrestlers for this month. It changes every couple seconds, but for right now, yes, Kevin Steen is the man. So, and he lost so much weight, man. Good for him. He looked like he dropped at least 35 to 40 pounds.
Yeah, good for him. I think like a lot, you know, like people would always, you know, go so hard on him for like his weight issues and stuff like that. So I guess if he kind of did, you know, maybe lose a little bit of pounds, you know, then obviously, you know, good for him. And, you know, good for, I guess, all the critics, I guess, who still kind of like maybe see that as like the one thing that's really keeping him from, you know, really taking off. So I guess I could kind of see both ways. But, you know, it was Michael Elgin versus Steve Corino. And I think like as great as much as I love Michael Elgin, I think obviously Steen was like the focal point. And I, too, did think that he had a Dragon Gate shirt on under it, which would have been so awesome.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, that probably would never have happened. But
both companies didn't have the balls. Like Punk didn't mention TNA, and Steen didn't mention Dragon Gate. Those are the two real ballsy things that they could have done. That they just were like, no, we're not gonna go that far with it. But I completely understand. It's cool. And by the way, I was completely welcomed by everybody. It was not awkward at all to be there. Like, I talked to Carrie and I talked to all the Ring of Honor people. They were all very nice. And something I'm going to share with you guys. Kevin Kelly is, like, one of the fucking premium-grade best dudes ever. He came up to me and he asked me about all the stuff I've been doing. And I asked him for some tips and he gave me just so many awesome insight on different things, either when you're at ringside, at the broadcast table, and, you know, trying to be somewhat real and like legitimately look over at your commentary partner instead of being all spazzy like I normally am. And like, he just was so nice. He didn't have to fucking do any of that. So like, I really want to give him a shout, because like, Kevin Kelly's a fucking awesome dude, and I'd like to do a podcast with him one day, because he was tripping out, because I'm like, yo, man, I remember the first time I saw you, and like, people were like, oh, 1998 Raw? No, I'm like, Wrestling's Main Event Magazine, 1991, you were interviewing the Long Riders at Eddie Mansfield's IWF, and he's like, holy shit. And then I'm like, Brady Boone, Jimmy Backlund, Patrick Tanaka, and Nasty Ned Brady, and like, he's like losing his mind that people even know about this. And I'm like, we're going back and forth, and you know, it was pretty freaking cool just to like pick his brain for a little while. So like, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out. Kevin Kelly, A plus dude. Talked to Prazak for just a little bit, and he wasn't in his usual jovial Prazak mood, so I don't know what happened, but I love Prazak too. I just wish I could have had more time talking to him. But
now, did you and Kevin Kelly exchange style tips? Because, you know, you are the two best dressed commentators in.
Wow, how nice of you to say that. I did not. We both probably would go to completely different tailors. I go to short and near midget, and he goes to big and tall. So like, yeah, we didn't really swap tips on that, but. He's a very dapper man, no doubt about it. And what else did he say to me? I'm trying to just think of some of the little nugs of knowledge. Just overall, just super cool. And like, it was like a cool moment for me, because I was like, you know what? That's good. That's the way wrestling should be. Like, people helping other people out. And I was just like, that's good. So there was that. What else was on the show? Let me think. Rhino and Homicide was awesome. I liked it just because Homicide had the greatest promo of all time on the video wire, where he's like, and then we're going to go to the Homicide Bomb Room. I don't know what the Homicide Bomb Room is, but like, he said it on the thing, and I rewound it a million times, and it was more awesome every time. And like, Homicide's promos continued to be the greatest. And Rhino, I thought, did well. He kind of bowled Homicide all over the place, and the people were feeling Homicide. Michael Bennett and Jay Lethal, man, I'll tell you what, I was not necessarily like, yes, Jay Lethal, but like, at the end of the match, he started like pounding the ring, R-O-A, like a big basketball game or something.
Yeah.
And everyone got with it, and I just had the feeling after that match, I'm like, they are crazy if they don't immediately sign him and push him to like the top of the cards, because he looks like such an awesome flag bearer for this company, and you could have all that footage from the past to show why he is such. And like, I really felt like a kinship to him and Ring of Honor just watching it. Like, wow, you know, that's right, he did start here. And you know, him and Joe and his whole history, you know, it's been talked about to death, but like, I just thought that was a really cool moment. I thought all the Macho Man shit was cool too.
Mm-hmm. You also had Generico winning the TV title, beating Daniels. So I guess, you know, Generico going into the TV show as the TV champion, I think is a a really good idea, like kind of like, you know, having Rob Van Dam as your TV champion, having maybe your best wrestler, you know, to showcase as your TV champion. So, you know, how was that, I guess, that second half with, you know, the Generico and Daniels, I guess, followed by, you know, the tag title elimination match, I guess, the second half.
Man, Generico and Daniels was, like, one of my favorite Daniels matches in forever. Yeah. And, like, the little things in that match, like, that's the one thing Ring of Honor does real well. And it could be a Cornette thing or Delirious or whomever, but, like, the detail work on a lot of these stories in the matches is just on point. And, like, the idea of Daniels losing the belt while wearing the belt was amazing. Like, I was just like, oh, shit, you know, he's wearing the belt as he's being pinned, which is just so poetic. And then, like, he took the Brainbuster, which is, like, big props for that. And the near falls were just unbelievable in that match. And as you said, Generico, you don't want anyone else holding that belt. That's, Generico should be the world champion. Everyone knows my feelings on that. He should have every belt in wrestling, in my opinion. But, like, yeah, man, I was really happy Generico got the belt. So hopefully he has a nice long and very prosperous run as television champion. And the tag match, okay. Tag match's entrance for the Kings was amazing. I almost hurt myself during that. It was crazy. My boy Cody Beware fucking killed that shit. And all his homies were just there at ringside, and everyone's wiling out and just loving it. And, like, man, what am I saying? But, yeah, it could have been, like, one of the last times, you know, you get to hear Cody, you know, sing them out to the ring. So I just thought that was really fucking cool. So
I want Cody Beware to be like the biggest rapper of all time, just because I love his name. I think that's like the coolest name ever, Cody Beware.
He's
obviously a big wrestling fan, so right.
Yeah, I mean, I would just... his name used to be Prophet, but there's like two other Queens area MCs with the name Prophet, so he changed it up. And like, he's obviously loves wrestling and grew up with it. And he actually has some ties to like Perry Farrell from Jane's Addiction, which I don't think he wants out there, but fuck it. Yeah. And like, he's just so fucking – he's such a good rapper, and everyone should check him out because his music is unbelievable, even like aside from like the wrestling shit. He's just – his voice is just very original, and like, he's just a super good dude and loves fucking wrestling. Like, we talk about – like, I just love being able to talk about like Tamun Honda with rappers, you know, or like bring up like, oh yeah, Mr. Ganosuke in 1997. What do you think of him? Like, it's just so funny just to like throw back and forth with Cody about shit like that. But – And they love the Naylor comps. Like, every rapper, yo, man, where the Naylor comps at be? Like, I don't know. I said I'm the Cody. I'm sorry. But, yeah, they're all just really good dudes. And like I said, it was really cool to have that big entrance. And I liked the Briscoes theme music, which I'm not sure if it's going to stick or if they had to scramble for that. But I like that. I love the Briscoes' new gear. I thought the Briscoes were probably my favorite team in the match. And imagine what that's saying. Like, I really, really, really thought they were awesome in that match. And I was mad that they didn't go head-to-head with the Kings. But obviously, I guess there was a story there why they didn't. But I thought they were very aggressive. I thought everything they did was right on point. And they just looked awesome. And Jay Briscoe's presence in the ring is just so next level. And Kenny King did really good. I thought Rhett had somewhat of an off night. Haas and Benjamin, I'm going to say this as politely as possible, just I don't get it. That's all I can really say. Whatever. They're the guys, so whatever. But.
Rob, like they have polish. They have polish, yeah. Rob.
They do.
Gosh darn it.
They do. They're
polished. You know, I like them.
Line, Dave Meltzer. Don't say that. It's a polish.
No, I know. They look like they're in the hunt. But they were in the match too. And
yeah,
I just
wish they would be singles wrestlers already. You know what I mean? It's like I want to see them more like in singles matches. Like, there's like a lot of different singles matches. Like I think seeing them as a tag team, like, I don't know, it just doesn't fit anymore.
I don't think they connect as well as people thought they were going to, because did you see when they went for their – that guy's hanging on the ropes and they pick the guy's leg up and Shelton jumps over? The first time they did that in that building on Chris and Claudio, when they teased it, and when they finally hit it, it was like the biggest pop I'd ever heard in the Manhattan Center. And then at the Hammerstein, you could hear a freaking pin drop when they did that. So it's just one of these things where either they got to show a lot more babyface fire, and I imagine me telling them what to do. But like, I'm just saying, it's just very strange to me that, like, it just seemed
as
like
a fan, it's what you notice. Yeah,
it could have been one of their matches among many where I just felt they seemed very sluggish for whatever reason. That's just my opinion. Nobody else is. They could be the best team in the world in other people's mind. I don't know, man. A lot of people were blaming Rhett and Kenny for some of the slower aspects of the way that went, but I just thought that Shelton and Charlie didn't necessarily look world class like they've done in the past. The match went an hour and 27 minutes too, so like I don't know about hour and 27 minute matches. Maybe it was only 35. I'm just saying it was entirely too fucking long for this kid. So I was just like, what? I'm like, you let those four same teams bust it out 15 minutes and they're gonna fucking rock it. And there were certainly aspects of it, the dive sequence, you know, that I've probably lost my voice during that. You know, you had like the very cool spot with Shelton leapfrogging to the top and taking Kenny King and Claudio for a ride. You had the most amazing racist spot of all time as Claudio and Hiro on the ring apron did the two doinks routine as Shelton and Kenny were in the ring together. So like, there was a lot of funny shit to go around in that match. But like, the finish I thought was kind of flat. I don't know what the deal was with that double Ron Simmons buster or whatever that they killed Hiro with. But it's just like, all right, that's it. And then the angle with the Briscoes afterwards hitting them with chairs, I like that a lot. So that was good.
By the way, breaking news. It looks like the two guys in the company that could maybe make the make wrestling service tag team quote-unquote interesting will get their shots in Charlotte. The Bravados will be wrestling Ozzy Benjamin. And it looks like it might be a title match.
Grandma's going to be so happy. That's amazing. That's good. Well,
No. They are wrestling there. You're right. July 9th, right?
Yeah.
No, it's a non-title match.
No. It's if they win that tournament deal, it's a title match.
Yeah.
You think they're going to win that tournament?
They got as good a shot as anybody, considering Cedric Alexander and Caprice Coleman are also up for contention.
If they were wrestling Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, I'd love it, man. Caprice Coleman, I really hope Caprice Coleman sticks around in ROH, not just on the Richmond and Charlotte shows, but that's just the NWA wild side fan of me.
I love them. They're only on shows in Richmond. So
there you go.
It's like, you know, WWE giving, you know, a Pete Doherty a title shot. You know.
Wow.
If only in today's age. But no, that is, you know, that was the ROH show. I think we wanted to talk about that. Obviously, you know, that was a really big show, I guess, in ROH's history. I don't really know where, you know, I guess it's kind of early where you would rank that, you know, Davey versus Eddie all-time favorite ROH matches. If you really think about it, man, we're going to be coming on 10 years of Ring of Honor. So, like, think about, you know, we used to go on, like, wrestling boards, like, name your top 10 favorite ROH matches and stuff like that or whatever like that. There's going to be, like, 10 years to pick from, so... One of these podcasts will have to really do like an in-depth, like, you know, favorite ROH matches, whatever. That's maybe a little bit down the line, but that was the ROH I pay-per-view Best in the World. I guess, is there anything else you wanted to really say about that show?
No, just that it was a home run. Apparently, it did really well on I pay-per-view. It did unbelievably well live, and
yeah.
Way to go, Ring of Honor. You know, Ring of Honor fan from the fucking Jump Street, and I'm still a fan, and hope they do fucking great. And I like the fact that they got Davey and Eddie on top, and they got a core group of young wrestlers. TJP was not on this show, but he'll be back soon. And you got O'Reilly and Cole, who I really like, and Michael Elgin. So you got a lot of good undercard hungry wrestlers, and you got some veterans coming back. So it's a nice little mix.
There you go. So going from ROH to a company that you actually do have an involvement in is Dragate USA. And actually, since I believe the last time you were on the podcast, you were named the voice of Dragate USA, and I believe also subsequently Evolve. And I think you had called that one Evolve iPay-Per-View. I think it was with you and Jimmy Jacobs and you and Austin Aries. You kind of did – I think they kind of rotated on that one. But I think you became official for the Style Battle or something like that. So – congratulations on that, and I guess, you know, the big question is, I guess, you know, what's that like being, you know, the commentator, I guess, what was that like, you know, calling the shows that weekend?
Dude, it's a trip, man. Like, at one point, like, Cannon, Gargano, me and Gabe were just hanging out after the show, just sitting down as people were taking the ring outside, and Gabe just is, like, beat after a long show, and he just looks up at me, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing here? He's like, why is Rob Naylor like one of our top commentators? What happened? I'm like, I don't know, man. He's like, yeah, Cannon, you know Rob Naylor booked the first 6 years of Ring of Honor, right? Like, everyone just laughs. And we, like, it's amazing, man. Like, I'm really happy that they gave me the shot, and it's super fucking fun. There's some pressure, but it's not like a ton of pressure, and Sal and Gabe are just awesome guys and super cool, and they treat me more than nice. All the wrestlers are obviously super cool too, and you know, it's just one of those, you know, team atmospheres where everyone's just trying to make this shit pop off, you know, together. And Lenny Leonard is just a fucking dynamite guy too. I mean,
have really good chemistry. I think you guys,
yo, everyone is saying that, which is awesome, because like I didn't know, but we have like this this buddy dynamic, I guess, that people like. So I was like,
you guys have something going there. I think that'll be interesting. You know, next set of Dragon Gate tapings and stuff like that. You know, you guys are doing pretty good. Unfortunately, we didn't get to hear you on that Sunday Eye pay-per-view.
No.
Real quick, though, I guess, like, we'll go in order. The Boston show was Friday night. If you had anything you want to say about that was a fun show. Saturday, the pay-per-view that really no one but, I guess, the people that were there in Long Island or wherever it was got to see it. So I really want to hear about this show. I heard the New York wrestling guys really did good. Alex Reynolds is a guy I believe people were talking about after, so I guess as the voice in Dragon Gate USA, I guess, what could you say about the New York show from Saturday night, which will be the pay-per-view taping, I guess, that'll be on next month.
Bro, dude, the Long Island show, in my opinion, might be, like, the best Dragon Gate USA show of all time. Like, I'm telling you, the opening oh, shit, I got yelled at for this, too. The opening match, which was a it wasn't Frey, it was something else.
It was an 8-man. And like it was one of those eight-man freestyle.
I'm sorry, it was an 8-man freestyle match. Freestyle. Yeah, it was a freestyle. That thing almost killed me. Like, calling that match is fucking madness. Like, Flip Kendrick and Lewis Linden fucking brought it. Like, everyone in that match kicked ass, but like Flippy Kendrick and Lewis Linden came to play, man. They were awesome. Sammy Callahan kicked ass. I think Big John Davis was involved. Possibly Pinky, who was the man all weekend long. So like everybody did really well. It was just wild. And, like, the main event was Ricochet, Pac, and obviously Richie Swann. And you knew the kind of circus shit you're going to get with those guys. And it was probably the most rewarding match for me to call. Like, I had fun the whole weekend. I thought Boston was really cool. And I thoroughly enjoyed New York. And I'm sure, like, people might like that commentary too. But I thought my best commentary, as far as I go, was the Long Island show. I just felt really in a zone. It was a little more comfortable. It wasn't a live show, so me and Lenny were kind of a little more reserved. And, well, actually, we weren't. We were going crazy for half of this shit. But, like, it was just
in
really,
a good way,
really.
Yeah.
It was just, like, really fun. And the show, the venue was hot, man. You hear about Long Island sometimes. They're like, oh, Long Island, that's like the doldrums. Nah, not anymore, man. I mean, Long Island was hot, man. They had a good crowd, hot crowd. Fans are fucking popping. And it was a very fast-paced show, it worked for everything. And Sammy Callahan and Mochizuki kicked the bejesus out of each other, which is great. Nice. So, yeah, I really, really liked that show. Boston was cool. And New York, as you said, that was another hot show. The only issue, like Boston, I thought the athletes fucking clearly came to play. I thought the DUF storyline was great. I thought Ricochet and Susumu kicked all kinds of ass. The main event, holy shit, what can you say about that tag team match? I mean, Yamato and Tozawa against Pac and Yoshino. So ridiculous. And I apologize to anyone that watched that show, because I have noticed upon playing it back that the last 5 minutes of that match, I don't believe I said anything other than, oh, ah, Luma! It's like I'm fucking climaxing for the last five. I was like, man, if I wasn't me, I'd fucking hate this. Like, I was just like, shit, I gotta work on this. But like, I apologize. But Lenny was calling moves, so it's cool. I was just losing my mind for everything, but I gotta start trying to, you know, formulate sentences as a commentator and everything too. But I really liked the Boston show, despite some of the technical difficulties, which, you know, is like so ridiculous that those problems existed, and it was the local folks that, you know, should have known better and didn't. But I won't bury them too much. It was so shitty though. Regardless, Long Island was cool, and then New York was cool. And Yeah, New York was awesome. Yamato and Pac was sick. And Ricochet is, in my opinion, the most improved guy. And the people in Dragon Gate realize this. And he is, like, one of the locker room leaders, which is crazy to think about. But Ricochet just carries himself with such confidence now. He's an unbelievably good heel, which you would never – like, you think of the old Ricochet and you're like, what, him? He's fucking jacked. He has a presence. You could tell he's hanging around Shima and Austin Aries because they have just completely rubbed off on him. And he's yelling at children at ringside, which is probably osmosis from all those car trips at Chuck E. T. So it's just unbelievable. Like, it's just a really good deal for Ricochet. And, you know, he's one of the very best in the world. And that's definitely cliche to say these days, but he's one of them. He's up there next to Punk. So.
Yeah.
Definitely. I was going to delve away from Dragon Gate a little bit if you had any more questions.
No, I just wanted to say real quick, I couldn't help but think when Dave Meltzer gets that screener copy of the pay-per-view, I want him to note in the Wrestling Observer's thoughts on Rob Naylor and his commentary. So,
yo, man, the day that my name drops in one of the Smark newsletters, I'm going to be so happy. Mike Johnson said he kind of likes me, so that's good, but like – aside from that, I want to hear Dave Meltzer at least utter my name once, and then I'll be happy with my life, and I'll just stop doing commentary. But,
but dude, I had a friend that got his name dropped in the Observer last week. Like, he lost his shit. So
yeah, it's an amazing gift to be in those pages. I've been in those pages, but only from like sending him results and telling him that Briscoe won from Sewell, New Jersey was better than Kobashi and Misawa. So.
I was going to mention going from African-American fellow and Ricochet to another African-American fellow. You recently got your hands on a Best of Papa Shango comp. I'm wanting to hear about this.
Yes, I did. Wow, insider. Yes, I did. It's a wonderful thing. I may have got my hands on it via a shelf in my house. So it's $4.99 of the Best Papa Shango action. The Big Ultimate Warrior feud, that's there. Undertaker feud, casket match. Okay, that too. Like, so much good.
Letting that guy's boots on fire on Superstars.
Yes, and lighting Chris Hahn's hands on fire. Wow. Everything, man. It's gold. And the infamous Ultimate Warrior sputum falling out of Ultimate Warrior's hair while he's wearing that weird jacket. That's on there. I mean, it's quality. It's a good time. And I could only wish they'd have put Kama Mustafa on there as well.
That would be an amazing 3-disc set. The Life and Times of Charles Wright.
Chuck Wright.
Yeah.
Who has not Conan.
Yeah, and who has the most polite shoot interview ever.
Oh, my God. We're talking about this now. Oh, my God. He's so nice. He's got that big smile. People just like to call me Bear. I'm like, look at him. He's so nice. Like, it's unbelievable. It makes me want to go to the Crazy Horse in Las Vegas, not just to see titties, but to be like, be around Papa Shango and be like, you're a good person, and like, pat him on the head while I'm standing on a bar or something. So, but yeah, Papa Shango's so nice. Like, he should be like a big brother's big sister's person.
Now, do you think he's like Flair and like puts on the Papa Shango garb when he's like drunk in the bar? He's like, hey, ladies, come spew black stuff out of my junk.
Oh, man. You know what? I don't know if that's his line, but it should be. Yeah, I hope he did. If he didn't bang anyone in complete Papa Shango character, that's kind of a sad state of affairs, but...
bringing up memories of that Mortis story from the James Mitchell shoot.
Yes, you knew exactly where my brain was. It's so scary. But yes, it's exactly what I was thinking of. Evil jungle.
Which, by the way, if anyone listening has never seen that James Mitchell shoot, what are you waiting for? I think it's like 7 cents on the Ring of Honor website right now.
Yeah, Jim Mitchell, dude, is amazing. dropping on my report card, it said dropping the bionic elbow on other students. Oh, man, when I first heard that, I was losing my mind. Yeah, I love him. Jimmy Mitchell forever.
Some genius out there needs to get him and Jeff Bailey on one of these podcasts together, because I don't think Ring of Honor is doing their shoot interview series anytime soon.
And no, High Spots needs to do either On the Road with Jim Mitchell and Jeff G, or they need to just do like a buddy shoot like they did with Wolfie and Jamie, and it would be fucking amazing.
Which,
like, it would make Wolfie and Jamie look like the Osmonds by comparison. I can't even imagine.
And I'm just sad that Wildside dropped the ball on doing a Jeff G. Bailey
Sinister Minister feud. They did it for like 2 weeks, and then Minister like bailed for karaoke or something.
Yeah, like, he's a very lucrative karaoke career. I've heard this. It's cost him other cool opportunities. Cost him. He's making crazy money doing it. I'm just saying, like, he definitely could be anywhere doing anything he wants based on his talent, but he's also a very talented karaoke singer, so good for him.
Yes, fucking Jim Mitchell. And, Jim Mitchell's just the best man ever. And he once fed Dick Murdoch poisoned sandwiches.
He did. He's like, I'll fix your little red wagon. I've actually used that, which I stole from him, I'll completely admit. That'll fix your little red wagon. The fuck is that? That's amazing.
Let's hope Dragon Gate doesn't go to, like, four-day Disney shoot, like, tapings, or else weird stuff's gonna happen, I'm telling you.
Yeah, man, look out. We're all seemingly a big, happy, fun family, but you put us on the road for 4 days, heads are gonna roll.
Literally, like, Shingo pull a gun and shoot a mattress or something crazy.
Yeah, you man. Know? Telling you, I'm a little nuts, too. Look out for me. Yeah. Telling you. People think I'm all, little Rob Naylor. No, man. Get alcohol around me. It's all fucking over. Man. So, yeah, anyway. let's discuss Finley.
Let's talk about Finley and Sammy. There you go.
Yeah, man. Finley's coming to Evolve on here I go again. Pillar of the Evolve community, Rob Naylor, the PR guy extraordinaire. I think it's July 26th at BB King's in New York City, and it's going to be hot. I mean, Fit Finley is a huge deal to have, and I really hope that that everyone tunes in for that, because it's a guy who is outside of the indie world who can be brought in as a basically a consumer could be like, oh, shit, Fit Finley, okay. That's an impulse buy for me if I wasn't calling it. I mean, that's going to be a big deal. And Sammy Callahan and Fit Finley is just an awesome matchup. And it's going to supplement or augment, you know, Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor from the very same show, which is a angle off of Evolve 7 that's going to continue. So there's a lot of good things already with just two matches announced. So, and man, Fit Finley, getting to call a Fit Finley match, come on, man. I got to call like a Kyoko Inoue match. I got to call all my Dragon Gate dudes. Now I get to call Fit Finley. So it's a fucking banner year for this commentator so far. Cause exactly. Can't beat that shit.
And I'm looking, that is going to be good.
Will you be referencing Lorenzo on commentary?
I don't know. Maybe. We'll see. I'm going to be try to be a little tricky. I'm going to... Let's see what I can bust out. Pure shit, man.
Like, go figure. Like, that's probably why that guy got the shit beaten out of him, because his fucking name was Lorenzo. That's probably
Lorenzo. Like, every
no offense. No offense unquote, if your name is Lorenzo.
I'd say every quote-unquote good-looking guy in, like, 1986 is named Lorenzo. Like, and you notice nobody in 2011 is named Lorenzo. Mm. Like, I think even Lorenzo Lamas' name is, like, George now.
Yeah, Lorenzo Lamas... Lorenzo Lamas ruined it. He killed the name off.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, BB King's is a nice venue, man. I like it a lot. Yeah, it's very, very low key. The sound travels very well. Not a real bad seat in the house as far as I've seen. Yeah. And aside from the commentary table being behind three rows of seats, and I'm kind of short, so when little kids bring signs and hold them up, it kind of blows. But aside from that, perfect scenario.
Good place for Zack Sabre Jr. and Sammy Callahan just to wrestle around in, and like they did. That match was awesome. So I really like BB Kings, and I guess on the iPay-per-view they finally turned the lights on too. I have yet – actually, this is really bad to say. I have yet to see the New York show, so I haven't seen it yet, but apparently they have turned the lights on. So I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, it looked real great, so everyone should definitely check that out. It is available on www.nlive.com if you're listening. Oh, dude, someone was wearing a W Balls shirt the other day. You guys big Snoop Dogg fans? W Balls on your FM dial. It's,
dude, if Nick Manilow was on here right now, he'd have, like, an erection.
He would. Oh, my God, that's, like, the greatest shirt of all time. I'm jealous of the person I know who has it. But, yeah, W Balls. That is not the website for the Evolve show.
I don't want to know what's on WBalls.com.
Yeah, nor do I, but I hope Snoop has it registered somewhere. But anyhow, that's like the only time ever that a transition from Evolve Wrestling to W Balls and the Doggy Style album will ever occur. But yeah, so Evolve's hot. Dragon Gate USA is really hot. And they're coming out to the Midwest in September. Robbie Naylor's going to be in somebody's suitcase coming out for that. So I'm stoked for that shit. So
Tom Green will be there, right?
I'll be in Indianapolis. I don't know.
Yeah, buddy.
But
all right, man.
We've got to get you fed some steak and shake.
Fuck yeah, you do. Yes, yes. I am so amped for that. I love Steak and Shake. I have not been there. I'd love to go to Steak and Shake. I want to go to the Big Wick. I don't know if that's anywhere near anywhere.
No,
but,
unfortunately, it's nowhere. It's like,
man,
just
lie to me and say it is. The Big Wick and Steak and Shake's my shit when I get out there. I cannot wait. And, like, obviously all the great Dragon Gate USA action. I mean, I think they're doing a big thing with Pac and Ricochet, which already, you know, boing. I think that ought to be pretty cool, right? So, like, Pac and Ricochet should be hot. Probably a singles match on one of those shows, so.
I think it's a singles match on all three shows. They're doing, like, a series. Gabe's.
Whoa, okay. Yeah. Wow. Well, guess whose voice is going to be gone by Chicago then? Wow, that's cool.
Yes, I'm hoping for an arm wrestling match one of the nights. Have to see. And Jesse Ventura will be officiating it.
Yes, the strongest arm. Conga the Barbarian will be the line judge on the sideline.
Legit, I kind of want to see Ice Train in Dragon Gate. Like, I think that would be just
do
see
you?
Him, like I want to see him pick up like 9 dudes at the same time, because you know he could.
He could. Ice Train's
how
pretty
old
powerful.
Is he? He's probably older than he was in 1994 anymore.
Mike, I love how high you sound all days of the day. Like, maybe I sound that way too. You're like, how old is Ice Train? He looks like 83. I want to get like some s'mores right now. This is like an awesome conversation. I don't know how old he is, man.
I don't think he can lift 9 people is what I'm getting at.
Dude,
yeah,
you see
Ice
Train. He's the size of at least 6 people.
Yo, bro, I'd say 7.5, maybe. Yeah. And that's after he's done working out. That's my take. That's coming from this kid.
Oh, I got you.
Dude, now Scott Norton would totally outlift him.
Dude, Scott Norton is
amazing. Oh man, Scott Norton.
And you should all peep him on Facebook, because he just posts like weird statuses. It's either like, man, I was fucking awesome in arm wrestling, or man, TNA needs me. It's like all.
Well, then.
Yes. He's very social media friendly.
See, I don't go on Facebook as often anymore. I'm trying to, like, it's weird. I'm, like, trying to, like, avoid Facebook a lot, only to really message Rob Naylor to when he wants to come on the Mike and Tom show. But, like, besides that, I really don't go on Facebook a lot, because I really don't, like, I don't know, I can kind of communicate with people other ways, you know? But
yeah, dude, I've been a complete failure on Twitter, so I'm, like, the opposite. Like,
I think Rob is the opposite of Twitter, because we don't see him, Rob, on. But that's okay.
I retweet, like, fake Hacksaw Jim Duggan, or, like, I talk to shit. Like, I really have nothing redeemably funny to say on Twitter. I feel like I bring my A-game on Facebook.
I think you do, too. I think you're one of the few people – you're one of the reasons, actually, I still try to go on Facebook, because you have,
like
the old – yeah, you have, like, the old Bill Bellamy, you know, MTV Jams, like, music videos and
sure,
stuff.
Sure, absolutely. I literally almost put DJ Rob Bass and DJ Easy Rock yesterday, and I'm like, nah, man, I already put 5 rap videos up today. I'll save that one for next week. But, like, man, I like it a little more. But Twitter's got, like, more chicks, so I do like it, and I will be going on there more often. But it's just I've been letting people down by the day on there. Like,
I think eventually everyone's going to get tired of Twitter, I'm sure, and move on to the next thing. It all depends on, I guess, how fast you get sick of it. So
yeah, dude, I have a real shit phone, too. Like, I'm, like, the last person ever on Earth to, like, not have a smartphone. So, like, any funny soundbite shit I say throughout my daily, I'm basically not going to be able to put on Twitter immediately. So it's kind of like, I think once I get a smartphone, my Twitter game will be upped considerably. But, like, until then, it's just going to be, like, non-existent. Except for Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who is my – fake Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's awesome.
Love it.
Well, I imagine real Hacksaw Jim Duggan would tweet very similarly.
Yo, man, I'm looking at my fucking 27 different tweets right now. And the other day, Hacksaw Duggan goes, I remember Ezekiel Jackson when his name was Ahmed Johnson. Oh, Pearl River plunges a meatloaf. USA. USA.
And it's always the best part is the part in parentheses.
Yes. Dude, I love you, fake Hacksaw Jim Duggan. You're my favorite. Oh, he's great. That's like the best. That's like my favorite thing on Twitter by far so far. And I, who would have thought?
And the fact that like him and Evan Bourne like tweet back and forth all the time kind of makes me want to see them bring back Jim Duggan as like Evan Bourne's uncle.
Yeah, did you know that the shoot Jim Duggan hates Evan Bourne, which makes that even funnier?
Whoa!
Like, what's going on there? I saw like that thing. Who's that guy that does the kayfabe commentary thing?
Sean Oliver.
Yeah, they had. He was interviewing Duggan, and Duggan was talking about how shitty today's wrestling is. He's like, guys like Evan Bourne, guy comes up to my kneecap, come on, brother. And like basically like, which is what Duggan used to say about Dean Malenko, hilariously enough. Like anyone that's like small and not like a big brawler guy, he always just decides to shit all over. Now, I still love Jim Duggan, even though he's kind of mean to Evan Bourne. But like, you know, he did say that, and it kind of hurt me a little bit. But
Jim Duggan is like everyone's favorite crazy uncle that will like not bad touch you, you know.
Yes, yeah, exactly. He's not gonna be like, hey man, you want to come in my room and like watch Neptune King of the Sea? He's not gonna be that guy.
No.
There's a reference for our fans of the 80s, hopefully. But
no,
yeah, like,
actually going back to that real quick note while we're on the subject, so we don't forget, they now that ROH canceled the Plymouth venue, I told Ben Pasco that Mr. Drummond is probably like, he better have saved up his Adam Cole beefcake shots, man, because those days are fucking over.
Oh, dude, he's just gonna go to Chikara because there's like 30 other young-looking gentlemen in brown shirts.
They're wearing masks.
Yes, which is even weirder for...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, man, I don't know. Mr. Drummond's gonna be pissed. But yeah, man, that's fucking great that we just spent, like, 2 minutes on Neptune King in this game. But yeah. Yeah, man, I'm gonna miss it. I won't see Pasco now. I don't know when Ring of Honor's going back to Boston. Or Dragon Gate. Jesus Christ, there's a... I'm getting fired. I don't know when Dragon Gate USA is going back to Boston.
Gabe Net doesn't listen to our show. You'll be all right.
Alright, cool. I love Dragon Gate USA, but yeah, I'm not sure when they're gonna go back to Boston, but I always love seeing young Ben Pasco, who's just a pillar of the community and a very good contributor to your site. I loved his article on CM Punk today.
That's Ben actually IM'd me. Tell Rob I said hi because I love him.
Oh, you tell Ben that we're going to hang out and hold hands sometime. It's going to be totally non-homo.
King of Trios 2012. Tom Green will be in attendance. Alex Green will even be in attendance too.
Oh, look at this. All right. There you go. Family
Alex
there.
Is my wife, not my brother, by the way.
There you go. Family affair.
Dude, true story. When I first brought her home, I had to tell my parents that she wasn't a dude before. Because my parents are very old, and they think that the name Alex is for boys.
Alex. They're old school.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally, my dad's like 67.
Was Alex the name of the chick on Family Ties?
Yes. I thought you were going to say Alex Mack, to which I would have laughed and guffawed.
Well, there's Alex Mack. Who else? Alex. I don't know. There hasn't been like a lot of...
Alex Porto.
Alex the Pug Porto, man. Global wrestling.
Dude, he's
someone
like...
over the weekend, we were discussing the idea of just, like, I feel that iPay-per-view is going to really change the game, but I feel iPay-per-view could change it even further if, like, say, you know, you just bring in an oddity and do, like, the most fucked up match that people are like, okay, I definitely have to see that. Mm. And someone just randomly that I was within earshot of is just like, yeah, man, like, you know, do... Rich Swann against Alex the Pug Porto. I was like, yes! I'm like, book it, FIP. I mean, that's
in a bungee match, live on iPay-per-view.
Yes, in a bungee match with Steve, or not Steve Dane, but Chaz Taylor at ringside.
Chaz Taylor, there you go.
Which, by the speaking of global,
and Sweet Daddy Falcone, right? Wasn't the guy the one guy's name Tom?
Oh shit! You love Sweet Daddy Falcone because he's got your last name. When I was a kid, I was. Go ahead.
When I was really young, and like I remember like even marking out, I believe as like a 5-year-old, like, wow, that guy's last name is Falcone. Like, it was like the coolest thing ever.
Bro, yeah, like I love the name Falcone. I love the name Falcone. His name was Big Daddy Falcone at first. And I'd read the magazine, I'm like, yeah, man, Big Daddy Falcone's gonna be in WWE. And then like he's Sweet Daddy Falcone. And then one of my best friends in college was a dude named Joe Falcone, who's like one of the genuine greatest people ever that I have not seen in 12 years, but regardless. So yeah, your last name is all good things.
We're great people.
You Thank are you. All you motherfucking Falcone.
I have Al Green.
Al Green.
It's true. Or you have Tom Green. You have actually have Tom
Green. F that guy.
I have Dynamite Kid Trainer and British superstar John Naylor. That's the only guy
And Ted Mick.
Yeah, yeah, until Hero and Claudio get up there and change their last name to Naylor, and then I'll be like, yeah.
But speaking of global, I don't know if either of you actually search global on YouTube, but it's all creepy dudes that are into quote unquote muscle bears.
Oh no, check it out, bro. Look it. I don't know if we've had this conversation, but I will say publicly that I found out about muscle bears about 5 months ago, and it really changed the game as far as me looking up YouTube matches of wimpy guys, because I'm like, what is a muscle bear? And then a certain pro wrestler was a total dick when he found out how grossed out I was by muscle bears, and he proceeded to post 17 different pictures of various bears posing or something, just this dumb muscle bear shit. Muscle bear is so fucking creepy, man. I would rather hang out with Mr. Drummond and play Neptune King to see than be around anyone that's going to be down with the muscle bears.
dude, there's a lot of Jeep Swinson muscle bear stuff on YouTube.
That's probably how I found out about muscle bear, because I'm a huge Jeep Swinson mark, and me and muscle bear is probably YouTube Jeep Swinson. So. Dude,
and there's a website, don't ask me how I came across it, but there's as you can hear children being shot outside of my apartment probably.
Oh my god.
Fireworks. Yeah, no, it's not nearly that bad. Now, towards the building that Dragon Gate's running in Indianapolis, yeah, it's pretty bad. But, what I was going to say was there was a website out there for, wonderful gentlemen where they, listed the top 48 bear hugs in wrestling history. And, I think Tom Zinks was number one, which I don't know if any of you have ever seen Tom Zinks bear hug, but I'm sure it's... It's very muscly.
There it is. Yes. Well defined.
If they're trying to appeal to gay guys and stuff like that, didn't Tom Zank wear incredibly tiny trunks? That's the one thing I remember being little, thinking man, Flying Brian and Zeman wear way too fucking little tights. I don't really like them that much. I remember even thinking that back then, but I guess, looking back on it, it was probably, Jim Barnett's idea, probably, right? But
yo, man, no one can touch Kevin Von Erich. Kevin Von Erich, number one.
Wants to touch Kevin Von Erich.
I just it just freaks me out. It didn't even Ernie Osiris. I remember Bix went on a rampage about fucking Ernie Osiris coming out. And he went on a rampage about it too, but
literally a rampage through salad with his fingers.
Yes.
Oh my god, stop it. Oh shit, that was the greatest thing ever. But yeah, dude, man, that was fucking wild. Ernie got a little happy. Yeah. Fuck.
So CZW, Rob.
Oh yeah, CZW, man. I was not at Tournament of Death. I'm sorry.
I just only wanted to bring up CZW real quick. I know in the mix of all of our randomness here, just because I wanted to talk about a match that I was there for live, and I know you had called it, and I actually just rewatched it the other day. That's the match from May. It's the dog collar match with Scotty Vortex and Drake Younger. One of probably one of the best dog collar matches ever. I think we had my buddy Tom Richards on the last show we were talking about. But I guess, what were your thoughts on that match, calling that match live? Because Tom Green, I don't know if you have seen it, but it's really good. I urge anyone, listening to this to go check out that match with Rob on commentary with Drake and Scotty. Yeah. It's awesome.
People will call me a company shill, but I'm sorry. CZW has been consistent as fuck this year. Aside from the January or February show, I forget what one it was. One was horrible. But aside from that, they have been consistently good to great on occasion. I thought this show that you're referencing was great. I thought Best of the Best was great. And Drake Younger and Scotty Vortex deserve a ton of praise. So much props for the match they put together that night. And they've continued. They had another match at the show I just called a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, the TLC match. How was that? I wasn't at that show.
It was very good, but by the time they got to it, the fans had seen so much that they were kind of desensitized. So it was not as good, but they're going to have a blow-off match, which is going to be a Tangled Web, Spider Net, Barbed Wire gimmick, I believe. So that's going to be fucking madness.
Double ring. I think too.
Yeah, right? Double rainbow, double ring, man. So I'm fucking.
So it's gonna be like WrestleWar '92.
Yo, I hope so. I hope so.
Too.
So like,
You could like be like Jim Ross and Jesse Ventura and like sit like right there in the middle, like both rings and stuff like that. That's gonna be hopefully what they do. That would be awesome.
Yeah, man. CZW's been fucking real cool to me, so I nothing but love for them too. They don't get as much praise online as they should because those dudes in that company are really working hard to try to get some shit popping off. And AR Fox continually kicks ass. Swanee and Alex Cologne from that show you referenced was so goddamn good. I watched it on tape too.
One thing I really want to talk about, and obviously everyone knows I'm such a huge Adam Cole fan. We were talking about ROH, and you know, you see the Adam Cole and ROH, and he's kind of a baby face, him teaming with Kyle O'Reilly, big baby face fire. And CZW is a complete chicken shit heel, and it honestly seems like every show that goes by, Adam Cole gets better and better as a heel. He's really growing into this role real well, and you could really see like how great the kid is as just like a natural heel. It's awesome.
Yo, man, I love the ladies, but, like, if I could, like, go gay, it would probably be fucking Adam Cole. Like, he is the nicest, most humblest, good person that always is smiling, is such a nice guy. And it's amazing he's such a heel because, like, honestly, in real life, he's like, such a good human being, man. Like, I got to road trip with Hero and Adam Cole out to Pittsburgh the other week, and like it was just such good time.
Yeah, I want to talk about that in a minute, that show.
Yeah, man, and like Cole's just such a great dude. He's always just looking for any kind of knowledge, always listening, never buries anybody, like has the best fucking attitude for a young wrestler, and there's a reason people like him are going to get opportunities and make it in this business, and I hope nothing but the best for him, and he is the fucking man in CZW.
Yeah.
And him and Gresham kicked ass on the last CZW show, and before that, him and AR Fox fucking rocked it, so good for him.
Tom, I know you're a huge Gresham fan. Did you see that match yet?
Which match?
Tom?
Yes, I'm here.
Adam Cole and John Gresham.
I have not, which makes me sad, because I love John Gresham. I just got to see him live for the first time on Friday, and
we're gonna talk about that too, because you talked about that by yourself, and I know we're kind of cutting it close because we have to wrap this up at a certain time, so we won't go too far. But yeah, you could check Rob in CCW, everyone, July 9th, New Heights, Devin Moore versus Joker, Danny Havoc versus Masada. That's gonna be friggin' awesome. Like, that's gonna be one of the most fun matches probably that night. You got Sami Callihan versus Necro Butcher, Blackout versus The Set making their debut. So that's
yes. Let me fucking shout out The Set. They're fucking my boys. I know that. I think probably Hero's the guy that tipped them off to DJs. Like, give these dudes a shot. Jason, Lance Lude are the fucking shit. Lance Lude is jacked as fuck right now. And they are going to be fucking rocking it. And I cannot wait to call their match. Because Jason is probably one of the funniest human beings on the planet. And I have not seen him in the longest. But that's gonna be hot, man. Sorry, go ahead. I had to just put them
in. Oh, no. I was just, as we were wrapping up the CZW segment, that was just, you know, CZW going on.
Yeah.
So you could, anyone, I guess, I'll be at the arena, and Rob will be there on commentary. Pick it up, smartmarkvideo.com, czwwrestling.com, and all that stuff. And just to confirm, Evolve 9 is July 26th, so you can go to, obviously, evolvewrestling.com. Sammy, Dave Finley, Johnny Gargano, Chuck Taylor, Tony Nese is going to be there. John Davis, who I am becoming such a huge fan of, I think more and more as it goes on. You know, John Davis has been so impressive. So I think it was really that Evolve show. I think it was the first Evolve show I believe you called, Rob. I think it was the one at BB King's when John Davis really made, like, you know, a name for himself as like a singles wrestler breaking out from the Dark City Fight Club. So that's Evolve 9, like we were talking about earlier. Rob will be there as well. But no, real quick, we're talking Super Indie in Pittsburgh. I actually have it on DVD. I actually have it. I think they get their DVDs out super quick, so props to them. How was that show? I think there's a lot of really good stuff on it.
Yeah, man, it was really fun. It was cool to be out there for the show for Alex Wybrow. It was really a bittersweet deal. I got to see Jimmy DeMarco, who's like my favorite dude ever. YouTube Jimmy DeMarco, because that dude gives the most insane promos of all time. Him and Shima Zion just have such chemistry on promos. But that was cool. Ego Anthony, Rob Anthony, is another great dude. He fucking rocked it on that show, and very unfortunately, I believe he pulled his quad in winning the tournament and beating El Generico in the finals. So that sucked. I mean, the match was awesome. It sucked that he got hurt, and he didn't even realize he got hurt till halfway home. You know what I mean? So it's like, damn. But like, Ego's like one of the definite good dudes in wrestling, and he'll be back, rest assured. But Generico kicked ass. Generico and Adam Cole is gonna be a match you want to definitely check out. Facade and Robert Anthony had a really good match. It was really cool to see Facade get like a real good breakout singles. Jason Gorey, who's Facade's partner, had a really good match with Adam Cole as well. I hate to like leave people off, but Kings of Wrestling had a tag bout on there. It was just a really good show. Ricky Reyes fucking had a really good match too with, I believe it was Facade. So it, top to bottom, it was a very strong show. I was really happy to be out there and to call it with Joe Dombrowski, and I'll give him some props too. Joe Dombrowski's a very polished announcer, so much better than me, not afraid to say it. But you know, Joe Dombrowski's a good dude. He's so like, man, he was calling play by play. And I was like, fuck, man, I'm going to keep that in my mental think tank and use that later because he's very good at what he does. So give him props, too. Mutual admiration. Oh, the highlight of the show for me personally was when we were all backstage. I'm kind of going to the gym a lot lately, dudes. So, like, I'm kind of happy with the way I've been looking most of these days. And Norm Connors, who I had never met, walked up to me and he's like, hey, what's your working name? I'm Rob Naylor. He's like, oh, Rob Naylor. And, like, we became friends in person after talking for years on the internet. So, yeah, I thought that was hilarious. So, thank you, Norm Connors, for making my life and saying that you thought I was a worker. So,
it's funny. Tom.
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, everybody.
Before we head out, you were at Chikara on Friday in Chicago, and I guess you were like, Jesus Christ, man. You were like gushing about it. And I think like it was really good to see because there have been like a lot of shows, like I'll leave, like, and most of the time you think like they are Chikara shows or something like that, where it's like, wow, what, you know, hell of a show and stuff like that. And I guess you really enjoyed yourself at Chikara in Chicago, and I guess you met Dr. Keith and the great Leonard Chikarison and all that. So what was it like there?
Well, I'll go into if you want more detail, I posted like a 30-something minute audio deal that like 10 people downloaded. So yeah, go listen to that. But I mean, in brief, it was fucking awesome. Like that building, I am in love with that building. It is like the PWG Reseda building, but like classier. Because, like, they run, like, indie rock shows, and like, I guess it's been there, like, forever, and they used to run, like, operas in there or something, and but it's, like, the smallest little auditorium, so, like, everyone's, like, up on top of each other, and, like, they're all, like, super psyched for Chikara, so they're all, like, going nuts for everything. So it kind of has that PWG, like, Reseda feel, which made everything better. Like, stuff that was okay was good. Stuff that was good was great. And this, I'm telling you, this sounds ridiculous, but until you see it, when you see it, you'll understand. Sarah Del Rey and Ikaris, like, was the best match of, like, all times. I honestly believe. Like, it was better than... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I saw Sarah on Sunday, and I definitely ran up to her and was like, yo, you know, word on the street is you and Ikaris tore shit down. So I'm really happy for Sarah, because she is one of the best, and she just doesn't get enough opportunities to show such. But you go ahead, man. Tell us how awesome it was.
Dude, it was, like, the match you'd expect, but it was, like, so fucking intense. Like, for, like, no real reason other than, like, people just hate Ikaris.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, and they, like, and I guess Sarah was, like, really over because of, like, the Shimmer people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was fucking great. And the main event with the Soul Touches and the BDK was awesome because, yeah, the way they did the run-ins in the main event, like, was stacked so perfectly. And, like, it didn't even look ridiculous when, like, C-Red laid out Claudio with a pipe, which, yeah, so I think Mike just fell out of his seat because I heard a bomb go off.
No, I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here.
Oh, I heard a
I don't know what that was.
I don't know. I could Skype. How does it work?
It's fucking Skype.
Yeah. But now, like, and Gresham was there, and he was the bomb diggity, and yeah, it was really good. And dude, no joke. When Dr. Keith heard the attendance, I was standing there with him at the ticket table, and he jumped in the air, and I caught him in my arms,
aww,
and I held him, and he is so light. He's the lightest human being I've ever held in my life.
And you and Doctor, I'm not gonna front. You and Doctor Keith being friends just brings a tear to my eye. It's so nice. It's closure. I love it.
I went into like this big spiel on the other deal I did, like apologizing to him for being a douche for like ever. But yeah,
I don't even know this story, and I'm.
Oh, I just was like a douche to him forever. Like, yeah, that's the story. It was I used to be a douche to him on the internet all the time. And I've gotten over it. I'm, like, not 16 anymore, so.
There you are. That sounds like a good song. I'm not 16 anymore.
It's probably some song that, like, Ben Pasco listens to.
It is. The Used probably sing something like that. But, yeah.
That's why
is it Pasco or Pasco? I always call him Pasco.
I call him both. It's I think it's technically Pasco, but I call him Pasco because I – heard someone else called like his username everywhere is like Ben Paz.
True.
So well, he doesn't correct me. So whatever.
All right, well that's cool. I like either way. I'm not gonna fucking diss either one. I want to be Rob Nay. No, I don't. I'm just kidding. Yeah, Ben Paz is all right. He's a good person.
Seriously, Ben Paz.
Like him on Facebook. He's so popular.
Yeah, everyone should like him everywhere. Yes. There should be a fake Ben Pasco Twitter as well, where he just posts shit about like vests and getting laid.
There you go.
Which is actually his Facebook, so check that out. Yeah, it's his vest. If you need to ask him about the vest next time you see him. He has like 20 stories about like the vest being like a good luck charm.
Shawn Michaels vest.
Yes.
Yeah, I was with him when he was wearing it. It was crazy.
No, he like wears it everywhere now.
Oh, Jesus, like, okay. Yes. It's a fashion accessory. Okay.
Yeah, like he wears it to like real parties, not just like wrestling stuff. And, like, good things happen with women.
Which, good for him and his vest. That's good.
Which, yeah, I've shown his picture to various ladies that are friends of my wife, and they don't get it. But I get it. He's cute. The mullet kind of weirds people out, but I love him for it.
Yes,
Ben Pasco could rock the Ben Pasco look.
Yes, he pulls it off very nicely. He's a good person. And he has that mustache, too, which I'm somewhat jealous of.
He shaved it.
Well, okay, good. Yeah. She's more youthful now. That works.
Yeah, like, because I asked him, because every time I bring up Ben to my wife, she's like, does he still have the mustache? It is hideous. And I'm like, I asked Ben, and he's like, the other day, he's like, yeah, I shaved it. I just got sick of it.
Not everybody can rock. Is it a bandana? Is it a, what do you call that? Yeah, it's a bandana. He rocks the bandana very naturally. Sometimes people do that, and it looks very, very phony. He could rock a very natural bandana, which is a very positive quality in a human. So,
which, by the way, if he learns how to bump, Ben Pasco will be on WrestleMania, which I feel inclined to shill right now.
Oh, wow.
September 2nd. There's a big battle royal of Bruin, and I believe Ben will be in it.
Jesus Christ.
Very nice.
Yes.
I took a side slam once and hurt myself, but maybe I could be involved. I don't know. I don't know if I can go over the top.
I'm sure if you want in, Nick will make an exception.
All right, cool.
You'll get to win like Sheiky.
Oh, good. That sounds like a plan.
Yes, and it'll be fun times. Because I think Nick seriously has like 300 people booked on this show now. It's gotten out of control.
WrestleMania, like, it's gonna be like a goddamn fucking Frank Goodman show.
Dude, it's a double shot now because there's so many guys. There's two shows.
That's fucking amazing.
There's like an afternoon show and then there's like an evening show where like I guess guys are actually getting paid. So, because the WrestleMania show is charity for Nick Manawa's pocket. So, yeah, and cake. There will be lots of cake.
Good, I like it.
It seriously says on the Facebook, like, don't contact me unless you only want to get paid in cake. So, yeah,
I like it. I like it a lot.
But on that note,
yeah,
I think we kind of.
I love like the first and the last 15 minutes is just like a conversation with me and Tom and Mike, just fucking shooting the shit about our buddies. This is what we're talking about. We love it. I hope you do too. These are good people.
I think we have a good show. Obviously, like there's Rob. Like you're like, you know, you on your show and you on this show. It's kind of like a different Naylor in a way. It's kind of like we kind of get like a different Naylor in a sense. You know, a little bit more like the Northeastern Pennsylvania version of
you get the very conversational, says stupid shit more often. Naylor, which is the one that everyone just loves, so
good deal, man.
I love doing your show. I want to do it once a month forever. So
exactly, yeah. Well, once a month or so, I definitely think we'll try to have you on. I think Tom, was there anything else?
I was going to say that I am IMing some people. I believe the next time, Rob, you will be on with Kevin Kelly.
Oh shit, that sounds awesome. I would love to do such. Good deal. Book it.
Yes, we will get on that. On that note,
how about like on this, we won't announce everything, but we will announce, I guess, what we have planned for the next show.
Tom. I was about ready to do that, Mike. Thank you, mind reader. Mike. Oh, fucking love you. Next week on the show, we go from the smallest to the tallest. Big Brody Lee will be our guest.
Love him. Oh, my God. I love him.
And right now, Brody's out for a couple of months. So I sure. wanted to get him on because I think it'll be good to get him on and talk about, because, man, was that guy on fire, before he, went down? Because, goddamn, Brody Lee has been awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah. You were there. And what was that like, too, Rob? Did you like, hear his knee pop?
Real quick, I know we're running low on time, but I got to really sit down and talk with Brody, because he kept laughing because I was basically doing everything under the sun to try to be like a team player in New York City on Sunday, because like, Naylor, do this, and I'd be running, trying to do as many errands as I can to help out the company, and basically he just kept laughing because he'd see me running here, running there, and we just got to talking a little bit, and he told me he was going to have a big match with Kevin Nash.
Yes, Jakarsson brought that up last week.
Cleveland, and I was so excited for him, and I'm like, fuck. I go, Kingston wrestles Sid, you're wrestling Kevin Nash. I'm like, when's Claudio Dan Spivey going to get booked? And like, we're just laughing. It was such a good time. And like, just
dude, I told Jakarsson, like, as a present, when he comes back, Jakarsson should book him with Big Sky.
Yes, Daryl Carrollett. And I was just like, man, it was just such a good time talking to Brody. He was like the nicest fucking dude and just a certifiable badass. And like, I just was so crushed when I heard his knee and everything. But we wish him – see, all the good dudes, Robert Anthony, Brody Lee, it's like we hope all these guys get very very well, with very speedy and very unpainful recoveries. So.
Yes, I agree. And before we go to – and. I know we're still running low on time or whatever, but real quick, it's not like we're really on that big. We just have to be done by 10 because I think Tom has to do whatever the hell. I don't know.
Yeah, I want to get this show up.
Family Ties is on the Hub Network, so I think
Family Ties is on fucking Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
The entire series, along with Power Rangers, which
Jesus Christ,
very cool. But Rob, did you know JT Roberts? Because I think he was an indie wrestler recently that passed away. And I just wanted to ask you real quick if you knew of him. I don't know if you knew.
I probably met him once or twice at Force One shows. I'd known very little to nothing about JT Roberts. I just know a lot. I know Adam Cole knew him, and he was super bummed out because that was when he got word of it when we were hanging out. And I wish his family the best. And a lot of his friends really, really were down about this. He apparently had a wife and a kid. So our best to JT Roberts from.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask. I didn't know if he had seen him, because you're also the commentator for Force One where he had wrestled. So I didn't know if you had seen a lot, because I think JT wrestled more for like groundbreaking wrestling and Force One's like these maybe little lower leagues and stuff like that, not like they're bad or anything, like just like lesser known, I guess. So
I didn't know if
you had known him.
No, I didn't really know him that well. I just know that it was a real downer and everyone was really broken up about it, so it sucked.
And I was gonna go ahead and show a show in a couple weeks, but I don't even know if I'm legally allowed to.
No.
Certain guy who I'll give you a hint. He was on TV last night. Will be on the show in a couple weeks. So, yeah.
On what show though? Like we're not even saying like on what show. So.
He was. I don't even know what's on Mondays besides that one show.
So. We're getting Jason Segel on the show to talk to
them. How I Met Your Mother wasn't on last night, I don't think.
Yes, it was. It was on twice.
Was it? I don't know how CBS was with the rerun deal.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, because they had a show at 8:30, Mad Love with Jason Biggs, and that got fucking cut. And that got the kibosh after like 6 weeks, so they basically just said another
See, this is why I love this show. This is so okay, we just got done with Kim 2. We're all just fucking smoking a big bowl, and like we're talking about what's on the NBC Friday night lineup. It's fucking amazing. Anyway,
dude, you know what's on the NBC Friday night lineup is like pedophile stuff. Because it's like Law and Order SVU, which which, by the way, I just read on Twitter, Bob Saget will be guest starring as a pedophile porn producer next year. So that episode should be fantastic.
Yes, it's good acting. Good casting.
But with that, I think we are going to attempt to head out.
We're going to head out.
Thank you very much, Rob Naylor, who you can catch on Goodwill Wrestling. You can catch on Evolve iPay-per-views, Dragon Gate iPay-per-views, CZW iDVDs.
Tangled Web is going to be an iPay-per-view hybrid ENT.net, I believe is what it is.
Not TV, so Rob. You're the worst employee ever.
Oh my god, all right, yeah, .tv, I'm sorry.
You probably call this website, like, Tom and Steve Present.
Matt and Tim Present.
Sorry, everybody. I literally got something wrong for every promotion I worked for today. Anyway. Cool.
We love you anyway. So thanks for coming on, buddy. We'll be
talking.
Thanks
a lot, man.
Soon.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll be talking about Nolan Johannes and all that stuff on the next show. So talk to you then, buddy.
We will see you all later. Bye.
Bye.